Today's Teisho will be on case 19 in the Blue Rock Collection. Gute's One Finger Zen. Engo's Introduction. When even one particle stirs, the whole universe is involved. A blossom opens and the world responds. But what do you see when no particle stirs and a blossom does not open? It is said that it is like cutting the thread on a reel. One cut and you cut the whole reel. Or it is like dyeing the thread on a reel. Dye it once and you dye it all. Now, if you eradicate all of the complications that affect you and bring out the treasure within you, you will find that everything is all right, above and below, before and behind. If you have not yet done so, see the following. Main subject, Gute, whenever he was asked a question, only raised a finger. Secho's verse. Well now, I like Gute's way of answering. Who could compare with him throughout the whole universe? He let down the wooden boat into the dark sea, making the blind turtle sink and swim and cling to it. This is the second day of our June session, 2005, and I want to thank everybody for doing a wonderful job this morning. Really a deep sitting in the Zendo this morning, wonderful to see. This is a real session, real practice. And I want to thank you all for making an outstanding effort, not only on the cushion, but in all of the chores we have to do in the kitchen and cleaning up the bathrooms. Everything is spotless. And that's a practice also. And thank you for that. So wonderful effort by everyone here. There's not a single person here who isn't making an outstanding effort. And I have to tell you that it's really thrilling for me to see this kind of effort. Session is actually quite rare in human history. It's not often that humans have had the clarity to pursue awakening, and it's not often that they've had the means to pursue awakening. And those ancient Chinese masters, those Tang and Song dynasty teachers, we are always in their debt to develop this. They have developed this amazing thing called sesshin, and these amazing things called koans, and makes all of this possible. It's really quite wonderful to see this kind of practice, this kind of effort. And, you know, I just feel very lucky to be here with you. I feel really fortunate. I hope we have many years to practice together. We don't really know what the future holds. We don't really know how long we'll be here, and not just at Sesshin, but around. But while we're here, while we're around, it's really, I can't think of anything I'd rather do than sit with you. It's just wonderful. And I mean that. I can't think of anything I would rather do than this. Just wonderful. So this is day two of a session, and it's a little difficult, maybe. Yeah? So, you know, you come to session on day one with high hopes. One thinks, I may just get enlightenment, right? You know, or I may answer my koan this time. Who knows? And you know, it is true. Who knows? There are stories. If you read the famous book, Three Pillars of Zen, for example, there are stories of people coming to Sesshin and having Kensho, even like a second Sesshin, first Sesshin. You think, that's for me. Sign me up. You know? But usually by day two, those thoughts have begun to diminish. Yeah. So day one, you're thinking, maybe I'm going to have Kensho. You know. But by the end of the day, you're sort of just trying to get through this next sit. Yeah. And by day two, all thoughts of Kensho, I hope, are out of your mind. Even maybe almost all thoughts of answering your koan. The important thing just becomes survival. Yeah? Just surviving. And this is wonderful. Wonderful. Right? You know, humans have the extraordinary imagination. You know, so when we're sitting, in a chair in our backyard on a summer day, you know, we can imagine almost anything. You know, sunny, it's warm, you know, cool lemonade in your hand, you know. You think, maybe I am God. You know? I might be God. You know? Maybe I'm already enlightened, you know. All's well with the world, you know. Bless you all. Right? Yeah. Enjoy. You know, that's Buddha too. You know, that beautiful state when we're happy, we feel a smile on my face for the whole human race, and that's wonderful. You know, it's ridiculous because we know that life isn't always going to be like that, right? You know, we get in our car and we have a fender bender, or, we walk in the house and somebody has, spilled something all over the kitchen and not cleaned it up, or, there's an unpaid bill that we didn't expect, the roof is leaking, and the pink slip is in the Saturday mail. Oh no, you know. So, I mean, we know that that person sitting there on a summer day is, that's just not life, you know. But we have these vaulting ambitions, these amazing, ambitions, we live in a kind of fantasy land. Sometimes we're acting out these amazing fantasies, and then sometimes we're in terror because our fantasies are not going to come true, right? We see somebody like Donald Trump, right? And many people admire Donald Trump and want to be Donald Trump, Donald Trump perhaps thinks he really does run the universe, but even Donald Trump must have moments where he suddenly realizes that he's, a fragile, aging, dumpy, balding man. and that apparently, can't stay in a relationship for some reason, maybe his kids don't call him. Feels unlovable and unlovely, yeah? So, we have this sort of dichotomy between this sweeping dreams, becoming the Dalai Lama and so on, and then, the terror that we're just unlovable, unlovely, a smelly, dumpy old man, right? A smelly, dumpy old woman. Or smelly, dumpy young woman. And this is like the human situation. So we go round and around and around. And we're deeply, at some level, all of us are deeply ashamed of ourselves, and tremendously embarrassed you know. I think part of growing up is coming to terms with the fact that you are who you are, and you ain't who you ain't. And it's so such a bitter pill to be me, isn't it? It's a bitter pill to be whoever the me happens to be. It's kind of a bitter pill. Because, you know, we have so many dreams, and then the reality is kind of a letdown, it seems, you know. So when we come to Sashin, you know, we have the chance to stop spinning around in this circle. And we come to Sashin day one, maybe with high hopes. But by day two, this beautiful thing has happened where, you know, we're really just trying to get through the next sit. See, and that is liberation in itself. You know, that is you know, liberation in itself. You know, I at one time in my life, I had only maybe 5 shirts, and 2 pair of pants, some socks, 1 pair of boots, and a backpack, tent, and sleeping bag. And, you know, just having a t-shirt and having a meal of, like, macaroni and cheese, you know, this was all I needed, you know. And I was so happy then. You know, I spent almost a year of my life backpacking in the mountains in the West. I had about $1,000 in the bank that I'd saved. And, you know, just basically I would hike with my friend and, you know, eat, sleep, and look at the beautiful mountains. And I had nothing, you know, really. And I didn't really even have a self. Just being, you know, wandering spirit, wandering through the world was so wonderful. You know, that elemental simplicity is so hard to achieve. You know, even up in the mountains, it's hard to achieve. But, you know, here on the cushion, you know, we can achieve something like that. In fact, something even better. You know, we can return to kind of elemental simplicity, where, you know, just getting through the moment is a great achievement. You know, and actually, when you're old, I think when you're quite old, it you return to this state, you know, where it's just getting, you know, you get up, you eat, you wash your face. This is like victory, right? This is a great victory. And with this might seem pathetic, right, you know, but actually there's something really, really very close to awakening about this state. You know, because all the dreams are gone, and we're left with something that's really more wonderful than our dreams. You know, I was thinking today about Lin Ji. I was toying with returning to that koan about Jojo Za stand still, but I thought people couldn't stand to hear it another time. But it involves Lin Ji, as you know. And you might not know this, but Lin Ji actually wanted to be a student of Nan Sen. And he went to, he walked all the way to Nan Sen's temple. And when he got there, Nan Sen was dead. You know, they didn't have a telephone in those days. So he must have set off with a dream of being a student of Nan Sen. And maybe his heart was light, you know, a whole way, thinking, you know, I'm going to meet the great Nan Sen. Maybe I'm going to be his student. Maybe he'll treat me the way he treated Joshu, you know. I'll be his best pal, and we'll do Zazen for years and years. And then he gets there, and somebody says at the gate, oh, you know, you're too late. Nan Sen has just died. And that feeling, you know, of too late, you know, missed the boat, you know, that's a wonderful feeling, really. You know, great freedom opens up in that moment. And, you know, it's like a loss, that feeling of loss, of losing everything, is very, very close to awakening. You know, those two things are very, very closely related. You know, like we talk about a dying on the cushion, right? And we say, when you practice Zazen, you must die on the cushion. This is what my teacher was always saying to me. And obviously, or we hope, this is a metaphor, right? You know? So what's dying on the cushion, see? Maybe what's dying on the cushion might be our dreams, our aspirations, you know, our expectations. And this seems like such a bitter pill, you know, give up my dreams, give up my aspirations, you know that's you're asking a lot, or that's sick, you know. But you know, when you return to this elemental simplicity, you realize that you know, gain and loss, right and wrong, such thoughts must finally be abolished at once. You know, maybe you're not there yet. You know, maybe you're still trying to salvage something. You know, but when you sit on the cushion, there comes a point where you realize, you know, it's never going to get any better. And we fight this insight for a long time. So, you know, you sit on the cushion, you straighten your back, and you begin to have pain in your knee. And you think, you know, it could be better. It could be better. I could get rid of this pain. You know, and so you shift. But then, lo and behold, pain is back. Or pain in the other knee. Yeah. But we have this hope, right, that if we could just make some adjustment, it's going to be better. You know, and there comes a point in your practice, maybe not today, and maybe not at this session, where you realize it, you know, you're not going to get out of it. There isn't any better. You know, there isn't any better. This is it. Just the sheer presence of this moment. And at that point, believe it or not, you'll be free from your pain. Or maybe I should put it another way, you'll be free from your suffering. See? Because the real problem is not pain. Really, pain is only such. The real problem is suffering, right? So, you know, when I have pain in my legs, I may or may not have suffering. In fact, I may actually be happy. So, for example, this morning, my legs were hurting me, but I actually had a very nice sit. In fact, I had a wonderful sit. And I would say like a heavenly sit. So I was in pain, but I was in heaven. And this is because I know that probably the chances are this is it. This is the only sit I'm going to get. You know, this is the only life this body is going to live. This is the only session, June 2005, I'm ever going to have. And this moment is the only moment I'm going to be in right now. And there's not a better one that I can pull out of my pocket. See, and so this involves a kind of a mourning, like going into mourning a little bit. You're a little bit down maybe because you think, well, gee, I'm not going to get enlightened. I'm not going to answer my koan. I'm not even going to get out of pain. What the hell is this all about? You know. But you know, you might feel a little bit like, I shouldn't have said but, you might feel a little bit like Linji today, who walked all the way to Nansen's temple only to discover that Nansen was dead. It's already too late to talk about enlightenment. Already too late to talk about passing your koan. Already too late to talk about getting out of pain. So then what do you do? see, and maybe a little bit of sadness. But then, you know, a wonderful thing can happen. Wonderful thing can happen. You know, just the whole world can open up for you if you just find this simplicity. You know, so you're sitting on the cushion, you're watching your breath, you're watching your breath, you follow the breath out, 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 and then your mind might become blank. You know, this is all you have to do, you know, and literally, answers present themselves to us. If we, you know, it is true we have to make an effort. You do have to make an effort, but really it's just a matter of presenting your effort, of being present, and then sort of giving up, just giving up. This is difficult to do, yeah, difficult to do. But if you, you know, sooner or later, you're just going to give up, because the beauty of the Zen system is that by day three of sesshin, you won't have the strength to fight anymore, you know? And that'll be great. And I hope that happens to you. You know, if you're exceptionally headstrong, maybe you'll be able to keep charging forward, but the average person, by about day two, is ready to send up the white flag, you know? And this is a wonderful state, you know, wonderful state. This means I submit to the universe. Yeah? I give myself to the universe unconditionally. See? Unconditionally. And this is very hard because, frankly, we all have conditions, right? You know, we sit on the cushion thinking, I expect results. I'm making the effort, but I expect results. And then when the results don't come, it can produce anger, self-loathing, bitterness. Oh, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was a scam, this whole Zen thing. And you probably recognize some of these emotions in your own heart. But, you know, basically, you have to go through this process maybe every time. You know, I've been doing sesshin for 30 years. And I want to tell you that I love sesshin. But there has never been a sesshin in which I have not gone through this process. Day one, thinking, it's getting a little easier now. You know, it's about time. Day two, what? You know, this is not supposed to still be happening. Day three, you know, and so on. So, you know, as I said yesterday, it's a big mistake to think that I'm not trying to. You know, when I used to sit with Genki Roshi, he was so majestic. He just sat on the cushion. It was majestic. And I just thought, like, you know, it's unapproachable. And I thought, well, great. You know, I can never do that, so fine. But you know, I want you to know that I'm struggling too, right along with you. And every sesshin for me is a struggle. And you might say, so why do you keep going? You know, but I'll tell you, there's nothing like that release, that beautiful release. Yesterday afternoon was really hard for me. My back was tired, my legs were hurting. You know, people come into the Dokusan room and say, you know, my legs are hurting me. And I'm sitting there listening to this and my legs are really hurting me, you know. It's like, well, welcome to the club. And I realized, you know, in a way I'm doing a terrible thing by telling you this. It's, you know, the Zen style is the teacher is supposed to present you with an ideal image of a complete achievement. So, you know, basically, Genki Roshi never let him see you sweat, you know. And that was very inspiring, but I want you to know that I sweat. You know, when I sit on the cushion, I'm sweating too. And yesterday afternoon was really rough for me. I don't know why, but my muscles were really hurting me. But then we got up, I guess it was the shower period. And we got up, and I had to go out, and I had to go to the store. Wasn't it? I had to go to the store. But as I was leaving the building, I just felt so wonderful. It was like the whole city. It was like breath. It was like one. If I could just one, just have to get through the next breath, next breath, the next breath. Just this breath, but you know, I had to stay focused because the pain was right there, right? And I'm thinking, you know, don't move. I just told everybody yesterday, don't move. So breath. You know, and then I rang the bell. Fortunately, I control the bell. So then, you know, we walked outside, and it was just like, it was just like heaven, right? Just heaven. You know, and that's why I keep coming back. You know, this morning I had a sit that was like heaven. It was just so wonderful. And, it's just, the pain is very small and incidental compared to this this wonderful elemental simplicity. You know, where my dreams are all shattered, you know, all of this is gone. And I'm just in the moment, and it's so wonderful, see, so wonderful. But, you know, we humans have a hard time being simple. We have to actually do a lot of work to be natural and simple. Many people don't understand that. They think it's possible to be spontaneous just by being spontaneous. But actually, you know, usually when we think we're being spontaneous, we're driven by all kinds of fears and some attachments also. You know, I have met many people who are quite critical of Zen, who have told me in no uncertain terms that, you know, this is crazy, you know, you people are, you know, fanatics, etc., etc. And, you know, it's like, why do you have to work so very hard just to be what you are? But, you know, I think it's clear that, you know, this simplicity is difficult to achieve. You know, the truth is, you know, we come to Sesshin and you think you're just your natural self, but, you know, by day two or day three of Sesshin, you begin to see things in yourself that are maybe a little ugly, right? A little ugly. So, you know, you're sitting on the cushion and somebody is, you know, basically like sniffling. And you think, I'm killing him. Yeah? Maybe this hasn't happened to you. But, you know, in our Zen, you know, he's ruining my sit. This is supposed to be my beautiful sit. And if he, or he's breathing too loud. Damn it. He's breathing too loud. You know, it's like, oh my God, he's ruining every sit with that loud breathing. You know, I hate that guy. And also, you know, I don't like his nose. His nose is so annoying. So, you know, this is, you begin to become a little nasty, you see something in yourself, you know. Or, you know, people go through various kinds of inner dramas, you know. Oh, I'll never wake up, you know, I'm dirt, you know, I'm an idiot, you know, I'll never, you know, various kinds of things. Sometimes people, decide they want to argue with the teacher. You know, he thinks I haven't answered my koan, but I've, he's the idiot. You know, that does happen, not here, but but I'm very fortunate in that regard. But I know Genki was always dealing. He always seemed to have these people who would. I was driving home with this guy named Tom, and he was telling me, I'm basically enlightened. Genki doesn't see it. Really? And he was telling me about Dokusan. He said, for me, going to Dokusan was like mortifying because I didn't have the right attitude. And I didn't know what to say. And I remember Tom told me, oh yeah, I love Dokusan. I love to go in and match wits with the Roshi. So it's like, he was always, there were always this fair number of people like that. So you begin to see by day two, sort of like you see in the mirror, your own shortcomings and your own, maybe this will happen to you tomorrow, but actually being in the pain makes us a little kinder if we have the breath to help us. So this is sort of like a purification process. Day two and day three are like purification of body, mind, and heart. And as we go through this process, we go through, maybe anger, maybe self-loathing, maybe, we feel sort of a sorry for ourselves, all of these different things. And this is all just human. You shouldn't be embarrassed about it, it's nothing to be ashamed of. But, we begin to work through some of these issues, meaning we begin to put them aside and return to this elemental simplicity. And this process is a little bit like loss. It's a little bit like bereavement, just a little bit, maybe not. Maybe you're just giving it up and you're having a great time, and that's wonderful. But for many people, this is a little bit, so you might be a little blue. I'm a little blue today, because I thought I was going to encounter ecstasy and bliss and so on, and now all I'm getting is pain in my legs and I'm tired and I'm kind of bummed out, So if this is happening to you, this is part of like a natural process. See, this simplicity is very difficult to achieve, but when it comes, it's just fantastic. I'm not going to answer my koan. Isn't that wonderful? I'm not going to become enlightened. Isn't that wonderful? That's a very good spirit to have. Probably it's going to take a few more days of sesshin to reach that wonderful liberation. But, the key to getting there is just being in the moment. So if your koan is breath, all you have to do is get through one breath at a time. Yeah? And don't permit yourself to evaluate. Don't permit yourself to judge or to pass judgment on yourself or your performance. Or as soon as you find yourself reflecting on the implications, you know you're far from simplicity. And this is inevitably going to be the case, but every one of us probably sometime today will have a sit in which we're just in the moment, just maybe trying to survive, right? If I can just get through another breath, 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 breath. And of course, when the pain is in our leg, it might not seem like a very blissful experience. But if the bell rings and you uncross your legs, suddenly you may feel very, very good, really wonderful. The great Chinese teacher, Sheng Yan, has a saying, a great Taiwanese teacher, Sheng Yan, has a saying, it goes like this, bitter practice, sweet mind. I think that's very true, actually. It's like nobody likes to sit hour after hour with aching legs. But when you watch the breath or you call mu, and you sit for hour after hour with aching legs, the most wonderful things will happen to you. Just really wonderful. You know, it won't matter whether you're short or tall, you know, young or old, talented or talentless, it just doesn't matter. That does not matter. All that matters is this beautiful moment. So, you know, Gute, whenever he was asked a question, he raised a finger. See, that finger, that's all you have to do. For you, that's the breath. For you, that's mu. Anybody asks Gute a question, he says, wait a minute, I refuse to participate in the illusion of the questioner. You know, I'm just going to be in the moment. See, what is enlightenment? No, just be in the moment. You know, what is Kensho? No, just be in the moment. No. What is the sound of one hand? No, just be in the moment, just this moment. See. So Gute's beautiful practice is the simplicity of the real, which we are so terrified of, right? The real is so frightening to us, but so wonderful when we're there. We fight it. It's the thing we fear most, right? But when it reveals itself, you know, it's just like the heart melts with the compassion. It's like when we die on the cushion, you know, it's just wonderful. There's a version of this koan in the Wumonkan also. You know, Gute had a student who used to watch him hold up his finger, and so Gute had this student who would see him teaching all the time, and Gute would just hold up his finger, and everybody would come away thinking that Gute really has it. So the student hadn't really passed any of his koans, but he told people, he was like my friend Tom, he said, you know, I'm really deeply enlightened. And people said, oh, how do we know you're enlightened? And he would just hold up his finger like Gute, see. So one day Gute saw him do this, and he said, come over here. And he said, why did Bodhidharma come from India to China? And the student held up his finger, and Gute took out a knife and cut off the tip. And the student looked at the finger, at the stump, or the place where the finger was. It was gone, right, obviously. And had the Dai Kensho experience. Loss, right? Loss. So, of course, this is a story. Didn't really happen, I'm sure. But the point is, simplify your life, please. Cut away at everything that is in the way of this moment. Give up all aspirations, all hopes of enlightenment, all hopes of achievement, all hopes of being smart, all hopes of being handsome or beautiful, all hopes of being special, and just survive. Just be in this moment. You know, it's your desire to be something more than this moment which is causing your suffering. Yeah? And if there's no suffering, pain stops being a problem. You know, I actually think the thing that is most troubling about pain is that it injures our pride, right? It's like, you know, on a certain level we think, I shouldn't be in this pain. It's so humiliating to be in pain, isn't it? It's more than, that's the worst part of it, I think, is it's so damn humiliating. And it's so humbling, you know. I've been doing Zen for 30 years. I get up every day and I sit, and my legs still hurt, damn it. You know, and I can walk around, and it's true, you know. I have these wonderful sits, but I still have pain. And it really puts me in my place. It's very embarrassing to be in pain, you know, actually. It means, what do you know? You know, what do you know? Here I am, stuck in the moment. You know, and if you can just accept that, you know, yes, you have pain, you know, your pain might not go away, but your suffering goes away, and then the pain is no problem. You know, that's the truth. So, you know, a lot of this has to do with just like pride. Like, I don't deserve this pain, but oh, you do deserve it. You know, it's the price of being alive. It's nothing. You haven't done anything terrible. It's just the price of being alive. So, you know, please be fully alive. You know. So, today, all you have to do is watch your breath. Today, all you have to do is call Mu. You know, it's not going to be a magic, this Teisho is not going to produce a great insight. Great insights are a dime a dozen. Just be in the moment. Have no aspiration more than getting through the next breath. And I promise you, you know, actually, you won't be disappointed. You'll be really glad you did it. If it hasn't already hit you, that it's wonderful to be rid of all this junk, it's going to hit you. And when it does, you'll be really, you know, most people leave sashin, very satisfied customers, but they're not very satisfied customers on day 2 and 3. Typically. Okay. So just hang in there.